And we welcome you to this week's edition of Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And hard to believe, 4 weeks away from practices starting on Monday, then 7 weeks away from the first games. Football season's here. A lot of great things in June with seven on sevens and team camps and all that kind of stuff. Now teams are kind of settling in and working on some of their own stuff. And we're going to start previewing the football season here on the podcast and also on some great previews that we're going to be writing on ScoopsWithDannyMack.com throughout the week. So kicking off our coaches that we're going to be chatting with, and we're going to chat with as many as we can throughout the next month and a half. We're going to go to Vianney. He took over a fantastic program, and he's going to do a lot of great things for them, ladies and gentlemen. It's Chris Starkey. And, you know, Coach, first off, welcome back to the area. And I know it's been a whirlwind tour for you here over the last couple months.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. It's good to be back. I think I'm finally at a point where I'm finally getting back down to earth, I think. I think you can ask anybody who's been in my shoes where they go back and coach it at their alma mater. It's just an amazing feeling. Walking into the weight room and into the building that first week of workouts and just getting out on the field during camp and stuff like that. I really made sure to take it all in, and it's a unique opportunity, and I'm blessed to be here.
Talk a little bit about your background for those that may not know. Obviously, a graduate from Vianney, did some great things on the collegiate side, but then got into coaching, and you know, done a terrific job at all the stops that you've had in your coaching career, a young coaching career at that. Talk a little bit about what you've done and what you're bringing to the table here at Vianney.
Well, out of college, I wasn't really sure what to do yet, honestly. My original degree is an exercise science degree with some curriculum and education stuff that I did after the fact. And I was at a point where I was kind of just doing my own thing, training some kids, getting them ready for off-season football and stuff like that. I had a couple kids who said, "Hey, Coach, we think you'd make a really good football coach, a really good teacher." I started doing some substitute teaching and stuff like that. And then with my exercise science background, it was really kind of simple to kind of fall into the PE background. And so I did my student teaching at Northwest High School with Nick Hoth, who was the head football coach there during my time. He brought me on staff to coach there. I was kind of thrown into the fire. I was the head JV football coach. I did some stuff, you know, that some really young guys at my age, you know, don't get the opportunity to do. I coached some basketball and some track and field, did some other things during that time as well. Coached there 3 years, helped start the youth football program back up there and did some really cool things and really kind of embedded myself in that community. I grew up in that community in Northwest. I would have went to high school there had I not went to Vianney. And so having the opportunity to come back and kind of try to make that place a better opportunity for kids was something really unique for me. I spent 3 years there, and then I went to Grandview High School out in Hillsboro. I was the head girls basketball coach there for a year. Coached football there under Coach Ginn. She's now the head football coach at Oakville. Just spent 1 year there, and then I had a really unique opportunity come to light for me out in Arizona, where I've spent the last 6 years. I was hired as an offensive coordinator and a teacher out there. Bounced around to a couple schools for a few years. Spent some time in Miami, Arizona, which is a small mining town in the mountains. Spent some time in one of the hottest places in the country, I think, in Bullhead City, Arizona, where they reach, you know, 125, 130 degree temperatures in the summer. So that was a unique thing. And then I was able to get a head coaching job in Holbrook, Arizona, where I've been the last 4 years, which was a really cool place. It's a border Navajo Indian Reservation border town. So about 60, 70% of our kids come from the Navajo Indian Reservation, a big basketball school. I was the fifth head coach in 5 years when I got there. Just a tough place to win football games, tough place to live, very secluded. We don't have grocery stores. We don't have restaurants. We don't have things like that. It's a two-stoplight town. And so I kind of made a commitment that I was going to do my best for a couple of years and try to turn the program around, which fortunately I did. My last year there, we were region champions, which was the first time in 30 years. Regions in Arizona are just equivalent to conferences here in Missouri. So we did that for the first time in 30 years, went to the first playoffs for the first time in 20 years. And so it was a really cool opportunity to do that. And I really, really have some pride, and I was blessed to be in those shoes. Doors came knocking. I had a lot of alumni and people reach out to me and say, hey, would you be interested in this? You know, we're going to go through the interview process. We think you'd be a great fit. It was a long process, almost 4 months, I think, between my first interview and then the actual date that I got hired. I was patient. You know, I knew if it was meant to be, it would come. And, you know, I got the phone call asking me if I was ready to come home, and it was a no-brainer. So I'm glad to be back.
No doubt about it. What were some of the first things, though? And once again, Vianney, over the last couple of years, is kind of, you know, they've come down a little bit, you know, in retrospect to a lot of the other teams. But, you know, the tradition's there. I mean, state championships, you know, some great kids that have gone through the program. What are some of the things to kind of temper maybe some of the expectations that this is going to be a quick fix, a quick turnaround that you've instilled in the kids here in the summer to get them on the path of what you want them to do?
I tell them there's no secret sauce, right? I'm not going to come in and drizzle, you know, the secret sauce on the program and everything's going to go up in smoke and change. It's a process. And, you know, I've already started preaching, you know, especially to our juniors and seniors that, you know, they may not reap all the benefits of this. For them, they've got to kind of look more at the fact of, you know, as an alumni, when they come back 5-10 years from now, they're going to look at the product that's on the field, and they're going to know that the role they played in the process is the reason that we're able to do that. And they've bought into that. You know, we have some really good leaders in those groups. They're pushing the underclassmen and kind of showing them the ropes and, you know, helping them figure out things so that, you know, in that 5-year period or whatever, those kids are kind of carrying things and we're ready to roll.
What's the summer been like? I mean, obviously weight room and still, you know, installing your offense, your defense, getting a coaching staff together. Other than a whirlwind with all that stuff, you know, what are some of the things that you guys have really been able to hone in on to install offensively and defensively with the guys you've got coming back?
Yeah, well, I got to Missouri from Arizona on May 30th. And then we started strength conditioning June 1st. So it was a quick turnaround. You know, we've been blessed to have some really good numbers. We do strength conditioning Monday through Friday right now. 7:30 to 9:30. We've had 60 to 70 kids every morning, which is huge for us because from my understanding, it's just not something that's been a constant for them there in the past. And so having that type of buy-in, having that type of turnout is half the battle, in my opinion. It's been really cool to see that. I'm a huge strength conditioning guy. I know that's where it starts. And so getting those kids in there, seeing the energy, like I talked about earlier, seeing some of those older kids lead some of those underclassmen and kind of show them the ropes and, you know, hear them talk about the importance of that room and stuff. We have one of the most beautiful weight rooms in the country, I think.
Without a doubt.
And so having those kids take pride in that and spend time in there is going to be huge for us. We've had a couple outings where we went to the Mizzou 7-on-7 tournament. We participated in that. We did really well, I thought. Especially with some of the competition that we were playing, Park Hill South, Cardinal Ritter was there, Troy Buchanan, which that program is doing amazing things here in the area recently. And so we really held our own, I thought, and that was really our first outing as a group. I had really only been there for a week at that point, and so it was a great learning experience. It was the first time for me to kind of see our strengths and weaknesses and what we have to work with and where we need to build and things like that. We had a great outing at the Rockwood Summit Contact Camp. We played Jackson, Eureka, Rockwood Summit, Fort Zumwalt West, Pacific, some schools like that. I think we really learned a lot about ourselves that week as far as, you know, it being our first contact camp, seeing where we need to kind of get. One of the things I'm really preaching right now is just attitude and effort. You know, we've got to learn to impose our will on other teams and other kids and other opponents. And not be the one who's always being pushed around. So it's going to be a process. You know, we've definitely continued to preach that. We had 90 kids show up at our in-house camp, which is huge. 50 of those guys being freshmen.
Wow.
You know, that's where it starts. How many of those we can retain between now and, you know, their sophomore and junior years is going to be huge. And so those are the things I'm really focusing on right now. You know, we've got a couple other events coming up here. We host a 7-on-7 tournament at the end of July at our place. We've got about 12 schools who are coming. Luther North will be there. Some other really, really good schools, a couple of Illinois schools. So I'm excited to see how we match up at the end of the summer compared to how we did at the beginning of the summer.
Who are some of the kids that have really stood out for you, you know, here over the first month? And who are some of the names that we're going to talk a lot about with this program when the season starts at the end of August?
Well, I think the first couple names that come to mind are two senior leader kids. Jack Burke was a captain last year as a junior for us. He was a two-way starter. He plays wide receiver, tight end. I'm going to use him in a lot of different ways this year. He's a great linebacker for us as well. Fun fact, I played for his dad when I was at Vianney. His dad was our defensive coordinator, and I know he's coached at Vianney, you know, a few years. He hung it up, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, so he's not coaching anymore. But, I know I'll be picking his brain and stuff. So I have a huge network of guys in that sense as well. But another guy that I'm really excited to see what he's going to be able to do is a guy by the name of Kel Battle. He had a good year last year as a junior, but I think he's just scratching the surface of his potential. He's a kid that didn't start playing football until he was a freshman. And so, in the world of football nowadays, that kind of gets you behind the eight ball, I guess you could say. So he's still kind of making up ground in that sense, but just his pure athleticism. He's a 4.4, 4.5, 40 type of kid. He's got a couple NAIA offers, one D2 offer from Missouri Southern. Great kid, you know, a 3.7, 3.8 GPA type of kid. Has not always had things easy and has always overcome. So I'm really looking forward to see what he's going to do. Those are two senior leader kids that I'm really looking forward to. Another senior, Brian Gerwell. We're really pushing for him to be a kid who can play both ways this year. You know, he walks around about 6'4", you know, 270, 280. And so he's really taking it to heart this summer to, you know, work hard, get in shape, eat right, drink plenty of water, you know, so that he's able to serve his team in the fall. Another kid that comes to mind, he was a great linebacker last year, second team all conference kid, I believe, is Turner Hunsicker. And he was only a sophomore last year. He's grown tremendously. I have some really, really cool things that I think I'm going to be able to do with him on both sides of the ball. He walks around about 6'2", 6'3", 205, 210. He's just a unique athlete. Another kid who's just a brilliant guy. He's got a 4.2 GPA, takes all kinds of AP classes and stuff like that. Those are some guys I'm really excited to see, you know, follow with guys like Cole Adair, Nick Miller. Nick Miller might be our best football player in the program. He'll only be a sophomore this year, but he saw some really, really good playing time as a freshman, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He's a kid who could probably play, you know, every position on defense outside of the front four and most positions on offense, you know, outside of the front five. So I would expect him to be somebody who's bounced around a lot and is able to make some plays for us. We have a unique situation right now where we've kind of got a quarterback battle going on. I know it's early for that, but we have a junior, Cole Ludwig, who's, you know, done some really good things. He didn't get a whole lot of playing time last year as a sophomore, saw some playing time on JV, but has really dove into the playbook. And, you know, he's constantly asking questions and, you know, helping kids understand where they're supposed to be. And then we have another kid who's actually a freshman, Caden Wood is his name. He just kind of came out of nowhere, and that first couple days of camp, you know, started to show his ability. He's a decent sized kid. And so as long as he continues to put some weight on and do some things over the summer, I think he'll have some potential.
Schedule wise for you guys in the fall, obviously it starts and stops with the MCC. I mean, you know, everybody knows how tough the Metro Catholic Conference is with the SMET, CBC, Chaminade, St. Louis U High, and you guys. You know, but you've got some good non-conference games mixed in there as well to, you know, kind of, you know, get your footing a little bit before you jump into that craziness of probably, in my mind, the toughest conference in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, I would say one of the toughest conferences in the country, you know, especially spending some time in Arizona the last few years and watching some of those high caliber games. I put CBC, SLU, DeSmet up against the best of the best. Some of those teams are ranked in the top 10, top 15 in the country every year. So we're definitely at the top tier of high school football. And I think that was, honestly, that was one of the things that enticed me. know, the last few years I've been coaching lower level football, and I've had some success. I've done some really good things, but I think it's time to step up to the plate and be able to kind of work, see what I can do in that type of situation and how I can work those things that I'm given. Luckily, we have some games that are going to hopefully warm us up a little bit for the MCC. We open with Parkway West. I know they're a great program. You know, they've got a lot of tradition, some really good players returning. Shin's on the schedule early. Timberland's on the schedule early. Those are some great games, I think, that are going to be able to kind of show us what we're about and allow us to make some tweaks and kind of figure out our strengths and weaknesses before we get into the MCC.
Absolutely. Now, and I'm going to pick your brain about this. You know, your playing days, you know, at Vianney, and now, you know, a bunch of years later, the scope of football and the landscape of high school football in the St. Louis area, in my mind, and I've been here for 18 years now, has absolutely exploded over the last 5 to 7 years. Yeah. I mean, you know, how, and I'm sure that once again was a part of it that you wanted to get back to. But talk a little bit about where football was when you played at Vianney to where it is now, you know, as we're seeing D1 kid after D1 kid after D1 kid, where we didn't see that 7, 8, 9 years ago.
We had them, you know. I mean, I can just think some guys I played against, guys like Wes Kemp, Robert Steeples, obviously Ronnie Wingo, Rayon Simmons was a great back at CBC back then. He coaches over at St. Mary's now. I just think that St. Louis in a whole, you know, you look at East St. Louis and some of those schools over there as well. I think the talent pool is just starting to explode because of all the opportunities that those kids are having now that maybe were not offered then to play at such a younger age or to train at such a younger age. The 7-on-7 scene has exploded. The training facilities like the Elite Football Academy, the D1 Nation, and all of those places that are exploding around the St. Louis area and allowing kids from all over to get in and train and get better and kind of perfect their craft. You know, like I said, along with some of the youth football programs that have kind of exploded, those are just giving kids opportunities to get exposed to the top talent, not just in St. Louis, but around the country. And I think that's had a lot to do with it. And you're right. That was a huge reason for me wanting to get back to this. Just in my, you know, first couple months here, talking to some of the college coaches that I got to talk to about my kids and having that type of opportunity isn't something I've had over the past in my coaching career. And you know, that's just a unique opportunity. And so being exposed to that type of environment, getting able to play against or coach against kids who are, you know, going to be playing on Sundays and hopefully coaching kids who are going to be playing on Sundays at some point in their career is going to be an amazing opportunity for me and my family.
I can tell the excitement in your voice, but really, how excited are you to come back home to the school you played for and get things going in the right direction? You just got to be off the charts, ready to go.
Yeah, like I said, it's, you know, to that first day I walked into the coach's office, my head coach was Gene Gladstone when I was in school. Great man. He'll actually be helping my staff out, you know, kind of behind the scenes, helping with film and, you know, up in the press box on days and things like that. But just kind of setting my stuff down on the same desk that he, you know, maybe not the same desk, but in the same area where his desk was, and kind of just looking around in the office. And, you know, like I said, walking out on that field the first day, obviously it's a turf field now. When I was there, it was a grass field, but still Don Heap Field. And it's still a beautiful, beautiful campus, a beautiful, beautiful surroundings. It really was one of the most unique things I've ever been through outside of my daughter being born and getting married. There wasn't much better.
No doubt about it. Well, Chris, I appreciate the time. I know it's kind of the calm before the storm a little bit here, but thanks for helping me kick off our football previews here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Can't wait to see you guys live on Friday nights, and I'm really excited for you personally, but also for the Vianney program. I think you're going to do some terrific stuff, man.
I appreciate it. We're going to play our hearts out with lots of energy and effort and develop some attitude over the next few weeks, and I promise you we'll play for four quarters as hard as we can, regardless of what the scoreboard says.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Chris Starkey, the head coach at Viani, joins us. When we come back, we'll keep it in the MCC. New coach at DeSmet, John Merritt, but he's no stranger to metro area football as he was at John Burroughs for many years. We'll talk it over with him next right here on Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast, right here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. And we welcome you back to Inside the Lines, the high school sports podcast here on Scoops with DannyMack.com. Thanks to Chris Starkey from over at Viani. He's going to do some terrific things over with that football program starting this year. And we're going to stay in the MCC. A gentleman that is no stranger to Metro High School football. He was at John Burroughs for many years, took them to the state championships, and now he is the new head man at the DeSmet Jesuit High School. It's John Merritt. And John, thanks so much for the time, buddy, as you are braving the heat as the summer has really hit the dog days of high temperatures and all that stuff.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And talk a little bit about just, you know, you made the announcement, DeSmet made the announcement, you know, earlier this year with you coming on board. Just talk about how it's gone since then. I mean, coming from Burroughs and a terrific program that you built over at John Burroughs and now taking over the DeSmet program. Obviously, it's been a process. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned to me once you were hired over there was, I just want to come in and make a difference and I want to love the kids and I want to get them going in the right direction. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, first, I will say the folks at DeSmet Jesuit have been fantastic. You know, the AD, Harold Barker, and the principal, Kevin Pelker, they've been fantastic. They've been great to me the entire time. And the families here have been so welcoming and so inviting. It's been awesome. And, you know, the highlight, really, of my time so far is we had I started a mom's club. And my mom's club, we had a lunch together. And me and my wife and about 35 or 40 of the team moms, and we had a blast. You know, I and my wife said, I see why you like coaching football. This is fun. I said, oh, yeah, it's a great time. But they've been awesome. And the school has really supported me. We've put together, I think, a real top-notch coaching staff from top to bottom. I've got just quality men working with us here. And that's really let us, you know, really connect to the kids a lot faster than I thought we ever could. And it's been a short time, but we've gotten a lot done. And we've really started the foundation of some great relationships with our student athletes. And they've taken to us and we've taken to them. And I think this is going to be a good situation here at DeSmet Jesuit for a while.
No doubt about it. And you look at the history and you look at the tradition at the DeSmet. You know, you're stepping in and your coaching staff, which I've seen your coaching staff, and I don't know if there's any better coaching staff in the area, let alone the state of Missouri, with some of those names that you got, you know, coming with you over to the DeSmet. But, you know, you look at that tradition and it just makes you want to jump in feet first and be a part of it. I mean, and this is you coming from a John Burroughs program that you took to the pinnacle and built that program. So, you know, this isn't the first go around for you as a head coach in taking over and building a tradition laden program.
Oh yeah. Well, that's for sure. And you know, and it's a similar situation to John Burroughs coming to DeSmet Jesuit. As a coach, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants here. It's not like, you know, I'm coming in behind a bunch of coaches that didn't know what they're doing. I mean, the last three head coaches here at DeSmet Jesuit have been really top-notch coaches and put up really quality teams for decades, frankly. And so for me to get to be a part of that is incredible, and it's great. You know, I have the utmost respect for Coach Mahoney, and I love Rob Steeples, and Coach Reed and I are still good friends right now. And so I'm excited to be a part of it. And I'm excited to put my brand of things on it. But really, and you know me, my brand is the kids' brand. I'm going to do what the kids want. I'm going to do what the kids love. And I'm going to be about those athletes and getting them to where they're trying to go. So it's not really, you know, my imprint on things at DeSmet. It's just me pulling out what the kids love.
Absolutely. And for you this summer, you know, a little bit different this time around. Normally, you know, it's just getting the guys, you've got your system in, you've got your offense and defense in, maybe a tweak here and there. This summer, a little bit different because you got to teach everybody your system. And you know, and there's a lot more probably this summer that has gone into maybe the last couple summers.
Oh, this summer's a whirlwind. And we have been teaching. And I'll tell you, we practice so fast. The end of our first night of practice with the kids, I mean, they were just dripping in sweat. And they were like, this is unreal. And we get so much done. Especially with the coaching staff we've been able to put together here. You know, I've always been a big believer in not wasting practice time. And we've taken it to a new level over here. And you know, we've had our first four practices, and then we just went down and played in Mizzou 7-on-7 and managed to win the thing. And that was pretty remarkable. And really, you know, we have the talent to compete with everybody. But I was so impressed that the kids took our systems and took our ideas in just 4 days and were able to show some results. You know, and then we had four more practices and played in the Coaches Association 7-on-7, and we came in second in that one. And so that kind of proved it wasn't an accident. And so that's really exciting. And, you know, we're only eight practices in, you know, right now. We're on a little break right now for July 4th, and we're still hitting the weight room. But I will tell you, our kids are really excited to see the next eight practices, because on our next camp, we're going to double up our practice time as a group together. And we really think we're growing in ways that are exciting and special.
The one thing that I've always known about you, and this is what I absolutely love and respect out of how you run your program, is, you know, how it's a brotherhood, how it, you know, it's just not talk. A lot of coaches will talk that, but it's how you embrace the kids, and you're just not growing football players. You're growing young men to get them ready for the next level. And, you know, hearing what you're saying, you know, and getting those guys, you know, bonding like that at such an early time in your tenure, that's got to speak volumes to what you and your staff have brought in, especially knowing you, what you did, you know, at the previous stop.
Oh, well, you know, I appreciate that. And, you know, one of the things that's special to me here is DeSmet being a Jesuit institution. It means I can leave with my faith. And that's always something I kind of had to leave on the shelf at Burroughs. And I brought it in a little bit. But that's not really the school's emphasis. We're here at DeSmet. I've got a Bible study, right? And the kids, we do it, right? And we talk about it. And when you talk about coming together and being men for others, I think this school really means it. And I think the kids here really believe it and buy into it. And they want that leadership to take them to that next level as a human being. And I'm really excited to be part of that.
Well, you should be excited because you got a couple kids coming back. They're just unbelievable recruiting. I mean, you've got the revolving door of D1, D2, D3 NAIA coaches coming through. Talk about what you've seen from some of those kids and some of the expectations for a few of those young men that we're going to see on the field here this fall.
Man, there's so many of them. There's so many. I hope I don't leave anybody out. Kids, if you're watching this and I leave you out, I'm sorry. There's so many of you guys.
Don't worry. This isn't our first conversation. We'll be talking a lot throughout the year. So if you miss one now, we'll get them later.
Just 2 days ago, Christian Gray committed to Notre Dame, and that's incredible. And he's an elite level corner. He's a special talent. And everybody knows how good he is. And, you know, I only knew him tangentially before coming over here. And he's a fantastic human being. And we're so excited for him. And then, you know, on the other defensive side of the ball, we've got Elijah Thomas, who is a safety, who is another really tip-top kid. And he's got offers out every which way. And he's trying to decide what he's going to do. But we're excited to get him out on the field because he's so versatile. He's so fast. He's so aggressive, and he's such a good tackler. We're really excited defensively about our inside linebackers, and they are really, really good. Cam Wright, he's a senior. He's a versatile kid. He ended up having to play on the defensive line last year just because he was so good he had to get on the field, but he was way undersized. And now you're going to see him in his natural position. You know, he's a tackler. He's a leader. Jason King will be out there with him, and he is a sophomore, but so, so good, so talented, you know, and he's big and physical and comes downhill. And we just have guys after guys. Chris Sharp, who will be a senior at corner, is a guy that's been sitting behind people for years and then boom, just bangs out and gets a Western Illinois offer. You know, he's going to be a D1 corner, and he's really hadn't played a whole lot here because he's been layered in so deep behind some of the talent here. EJ Bias at safety is the same way. In watching him play just in this summer, he's one of the best high school safeties I've ever seen. And he was just kind of on the shelf at this man, sitting behind Caleb Purdy for a bunch of years. And now you're going to see him this fall. He's going to tear some stuff up. And I haven't even gotten to the defensive line yet, you know. And really, I think that's our best position group on defense. And so we're really excited about what we think we could do defensively. There are an awful lot of pieces in place, you know. And then on the offensive side of the ball, we know we're going to start and stop with Chris Cotton. And, you know, that's another kid that I've known for years in St. Louis, but never really, really knew him close. But just to get to connect with him over these last few months, he is as earnest and sincere a kid as you could be around. He is a football encyclopedia. He knows everything. He knows every team in town. He knows every offense they run. He knows every defense they run. He knows half of their roster. He's just like me. And so we sit around and we talk high school football all day long. And he's just been a treat and a delight. And his talent is unbelievable. His talent is unbelievable. And I knew he was good getting to practice with him. He is really, really special. You know, then we've got Demetri and Cannon on the outside at a receiver, another guy with Division I offers who is so good. And he's improved his speed and he's really taken to our system. We've asked him to do some new things at receiver that he hasn't done before. And he's learning them and doing them and getting really good. And then we got Keyshawn Ford at the running back, who I think is as good a running back as there is in the state, in the area. And, you know, we like to throw the running back the ball, you know. And Keyshawn, you've seen him for years at the SMED. He's been a tough inside runner, but he's really good in the passing game. And we're going to use him that way, too. He's still going to run inside. He's still going to be a handful to tackle. But when you see Keyshawn getting out in the flat in those short and intermediate routes, catching the ball, I think he's a real matchup problem for teams. And then we're super excited about our offensive line. Mike Cunningham will return, and he can play center and guard, and he's really, really, really good. Aiden Taylor will play one of the tackles, and he's really, really good. And so we're just excited about all these guys that we have and bringing these guys together. And just teach them to love each other and care about each other and want to play for each other.
Well, schedule-wise, and I'll say this, you're not in the Metro League anymore. Welcome to the MCC.
That's for sure.
Welcome to
the MCC.
I mean, and me and you have talked about this, you know, for years. The MCC is probably one of the toughest conferences, just not here in the metro area, but in the state of Missouri, if not in the Midwest. Now you are fully entrenched in it with CBC, Slew High. You know, Chaminade, you got Chris Starkey taking over at Vianney, who's going to bring a lot of energy. Plus, your non-conference schedule is no slouch. I mean, you're going to have a really, really very, you know, tough go to get your kids ready for districts and for the state playoffs.
Yeah, we've put together a tip-top schedule, and there's no rest for the weary on our schedule. We're going to need to be ready every single week. And I'm excited to be in the MCC. And I will say, too, though, you know, having been in the Metro League for 10 years, there are some tremendous coaches in the Metro League.
Oh, without a doubt.
And that conference has been really good for a really long time. And so I'm excited to move to this new one because I do think it really is the premier football conference in the state of Missouri and really in the region. But the Metro League is a really top, especially coaching conference. You know, in the small schools, you have to coach so much to get things out of small rosters. And so I really feel like as a coach, having grown up in the Metro League, I'm prepared for this jump to the MCC to go and see what we can do and put ourselves to the test.
How much fun are you having?
So much fun. I mean, I'll tell you what, I wake up every morning, something new. And we run over here and get to dismantle and do some stuff. I just before talking to you was trying to figure out how to install our end zone camera. And then I went and counted some jerseys, and then I got a bunch of new hand dummies in, and it's a fun time over here. But I will tell you, the most exciting part of the day every day for me this last week is when we get in the weight room. You know, we were able to hire Daryl Green as our new strength coach, and he is tip top notch. And in just a week and a half's time, he's transformed our weight room. And our guys love being in there. The energy is super high. They are working really hard, and it is so fun. It's like a party when you go in our weight room. And then when it ends, everybody collapses on the floor.
No doubt about it. You know, last question, and obviously your son is taking his talents to the next level. Talk about what Caleb's been doing and getting him ready for his jump to college football this coming fall.
Oh, it's funny. You know, he's up there in Laramie, and he's doing real well. You know, I talked with Coach Reed actually 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about freshmen who go to play college football and how hard it is. And I said, yeah, I said, Coach, that's true, except for Caleb Merritt. He calls me every night to tell me how fun the workouts are. And he loves it. He loves it. And he is just having a blast, and he's learning a ton, and he looks great, and he's going to do everything he can to try to get himself not wearing a red shirt this year and get on the field. They're going to play week one at Illinois, which is a nice close game for us. And he's got all the indications that he's going to be traveling so far. No promises yet, but that's his plan. And I know his goal is to step on that field in one way, shape, or form week one at Illinois. So hopefully he'll get that done.
Awesome stuff, buddy. Well, you know me. I always love talking football with you. We have such a great time talking about it. So happy for you, and I'm excited to see what you and your staff's going to do up this minute. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to get up there and watch you guys play this ball.
Come by and see us anytime.
No doubt about it, John. Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Take care.
John Merritt, the head coach at the Smet, joins us, and we want to thank him. We also want to thank Chris Starkey as well for joining us here as we kick off our football previews here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. You've been listening to Inside the Lines, the High School Sports Podcast, right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. We'll talk to you next week.